Ireland Wolff Shipyard is expected to be placed into administration later today. This puts 130 jobs at risk and could spell the end of the iconic business. Unions want the shipyard to be nationalised, a call that has been backed by the Labour Party, but the government has said the crisis is ultimately a commercial issue. Our BBC economics and business editor, John Campbell, is in the studio with us.
Good morning.
So it's gone, John, is it?
Well, technically not gone yet, but it looks like...
Is there any way back for them?
Time is very, very short. No, really, my understanding is that there may still be people who are interested in this business in some way, shape or form, but not until after the administration process takes place. And so far as we know, an administrator is due to be appointed at some point today, and then they will be in control of the company and they will then decide what happens next. And it's basically the job of the administrator to get the best possible return for any creditors the company has. And, you know, effectively they will manage a sales process. But it's a sales
process.
What
is there to sell?
Well, you have all that. You have a big site down there, which they hold on a long lease from the harbour commissioners. There's obviously all the industrial equipment that they own as well. So really you're selling an industrial facility. Now, the issue is that any potential buyer would not want the current liabilities of that business, which are pension liabilities and also, frankly, the workforce. And I understand that in some of the discussions which have been happening in recent months about a possible sale, it has been the issue of the workforce which has been key. So while the company itself may have said, we only want a deal in which the workforce is looked after, that is not something that the administrator can concern themselves with. The administrator's job is very clear about their aim is to get the best possible outcome for any creditors.
So in other words, John, and I take no pleasure in saying this, but there may indeed be a buyer, but the buyer will not want the workers and will not want the pension rights that the workers have.
Yeah, so we'll split those into two. Firstly, the government now have a thing called the Pension Protection Fund. So your pension fund goes into this lifeboat and it's managed and you still get a pension. That's one side of it. And we've seen that happen with lots of companies, you know, in recent years. So there's a degree of protection there for pensions. The workforce is a different issue because then you're thinking about, OK, if somebody buys this, what is their vision for the yard? Is it as a heavy engineering business? Is it just a pure property play? Whoever comes in, if they're going to change things, that may take months until they repurpose the yard into what they want to use it for. So, no, I don't see that the workforce as it's currently constituted is likely to be a major part of the plan for anybody who may be interested in buying this business post-administration.
Yeah, and we're talking about human beings here with families. So my next question is very much down the priority scale, but the iconic structures, Samson and Goliath, they're owned by Harland and Wolff.
They are, yeah.
So if that company goes into administration, do those structures go into administration?
Yeah, well, then they're an asset and the administrator has to decide what to do with them. So they are protected structures. They're not listed buildings, but they are protected structures, which is much the same thing, which is really, if you want to do anything with those cranes, you effectively need to get permission from the government to do so. So we're not in a situation where the business can be sold and somebody can then just, you know, take an angle grinder to them or anything like that. But then you would wonder, well, if you have a property business or some other business there, you know, what do they want with huge industrial cranes? So you may say, well, you know, could there be a situation where you would move those cranes into the ownership of another organisation, which may have a role and a duty in preserving Belfast's industrial heritage? So, for example, you have the Titanic Foundation, who own the drawing offices, who effectively own the pneumatic, who actually do already own some other Harland and Wolff cranes, the steam cranes, which they got around the same time as the pneumatic. So, you know, potentially longer term, an organisation like that may be interested in actually, you know, having and preserving those structures.
John, a lot of these workers will have worked at Harland Wolff all their working lives.
Yeah.
What chance have they got of retraining in later life?
It depend, you know.
It's certainly daunting, isn't it?
Yeah, it can depend what your specific skill is in some ways. There is a big demand for welders still. If you're a skilled welder, sometimes if you're driving about Mid Ulster, and when there's lots of manufacturing, you can see like literally signs kind of at the side of the road saying, you know, welders needed, welders wanted.
Okay.
So skilled welders are still, in demand. There is still work for people if they want it in those areas. Some of the other jobs, maybe more specialist jobs around kind of quayside operations, you know, clearly that's a very specialist role, so that there may be less demand there. And, you know, losing your job is a traumatic thing, you know, whether there may be something else out there as well. And I think we also, you know, need to look at the kind of away from the wider kind of cultural significance of the Harland and Wolff Yard. It was still a source of huge pride to people in East Belfast. You know, the Eastside Arts Festival going on at the moment today. There are two, you know, shipyard related activities. There's a walk happening. There's a musical event this evening, sort of celebrating kind of the industrial heritage. So, you know, in effect, if the yard goes out of business, that feels like a kind of an important cultural moment as well.
And one final question. You said that there may indeed be someone interested in buying the business after it's gone into administration.
Yeah.
In other words, after, as you've explained to us, the liability for the workforce and indeed the pensions has been broken off. But if they're buying the business, then they will need a workforce back again. Is that about bringing a workforce back in different terms?
Or maybe different skills as well. So depending on if you have an industrial user, for example, what exactly are they aiming to do there? You know, so if somebody was just to come along and say, I want to, you know, build wind turbines and refurbish oil rigs, then they'd need the same sort of people. But the fact of the matter is, as the last couple of years has shown, there doesn't appear to be a viable business there currently in doing that sort of work. So if you're going to do a different sort of enterprise, you're likely to need people with different sorts of skills.
Okay. John Campbell, thank you very much indeed. Well, last Monday, workers said they'd taken control of the site and established a rota to ensure their protest continued around the clock. Joe Passmore and Barry Reid both work there and have been part of that protest, and they're with us this morning. Joe, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning, Joe. Morning, Barry.
Good morning.
Good morning. First of all, I'm sorry to hear this is happening to you both. It must be a very sad day, Joe.
It is. It's all I can say, look, as far as we're concerned and as far as the workforce is concerned, it's not over yet. What this last week has shown is that the will and determination of this shipyard or these workers and this community is incredibly strong. So I know it's a dark day, but it's not over. And we've still a lot more we can do, and we're going to do it right up until the final minute.
And Joe, you've been there for some 30 years at that site.
Yes, I have. I have.
How old are you, sir?
I'm 57, very shortly.
Are you frightened as to... So if it were me, I'd be frightened as to, you know, the bills that we've got to pay and... It's more than money, though, isn't it? Work gives you a structure in your life, and it's a sense of identity, isn't it?
Yes, but I'll tell you what it is. It's not just that, and it's not just about the 123 people that live here, or work here, sorry. They're the caretakers, if you like. Every time we get a big contract, and we bring in thousands of people from all across the community, and they're all coming in here. I mean, the next project that we could have had that we were favoured bidders for, which was weeks away, if it had been viable, we'd have brought in 1,500 people into this yard. And you spread that out, what that does to the Belfast economy, that's where it's going to hurt. It's not just our jobs, it's what it does to the community.
Barry, how long have you worked there?
I'm here 33, it'll have passed 34 years.
So you don't know how to do anything else, Barry?
Well, I was an aircraft fitter for a year.
What are you going to do?
We could have a viable business here. It just seems to be that every government department that we want to use has an image of a certain preferred bidder.
We don't want to get into that. We don't.
No. I'm not going to name.
What I would rather do, Barry, is here this morning, because I'm not across some of the detail of that. I would rather. Get a sense from you of where the workforce are at in terms of their mood, and it sounds to me like you're saying they're resilient, that you still think there's an opportunity to fight here, Barry.
We're very resilient. You know, people said, we had a fun day yesterday. We had over 500 members of the local community, families down here yesterday. And the fun day was to thank the communities. It wasn't a fun day to say Harland was closing or anything. People took a wrong impression that people was going, oh, they're having a fun day, they're closing. It was our support for the local community, for the help that they're giving us. And basically, people have to remember, near enough every family in certain parts of Belfast, and I'm not saying religious divides or anything else because it doesn't come into it, there was people down here, a gentleman turned around to me the other night and says, I'm at that age now, he says, I've been here all my days. He says, I've raised my family, I've paid my family's education, I've bought my house, I've bought my car, and I'm content because I've had a livelihood out of Harland Wood. And over the years, there are thousands of people that have done that. And basically, if we go to any government department here, the funny thing is, the new Secretary of State was appointed by a man who led his campaign on 31st of October. Britain, the United Kingdom, is leaving Europe. We are sick of Europe. Britain for Britain. And the Secretary of State turned around and told us on Saturday, I'm terribly sorry, but under European rules, I can't give you any money. Is that a total hypocrisy?
Are you frightened, Barry?
I'm frightened for losing my job, but, you know, I'm happy. Not happy that I'm closing, but I'm happy in what I'm doing.
And what are you literally going to do for money?
Well, if I do go into receivership, but statutory redundancy, we'll lose out in that. There's people lose out in packages, but with our statutory redundancy, it will pay bills for a certain time. When the time comes to not look for another job, but we'll give up the fight. If we give up the fight, then we'll worry about what we're going to do.
Okay. Barry and Joe, our thoughts are with you, obviously, as you're fighting for your job. And I know this is going to be a very difficult day for the workforce at Harland Wolff. And thank you very much indeed for coming on this morning and